Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth. It's my co-host, Kara Kittrick. Kara, you got any news for us today?
Former Arizona Governor Fife Symington, who was governor at the time of the Phoenix Lights incident, will be attending the International UFO Congress this year, a ufology conference. While at the time of the incident, he dismissed the idea that the lights over Phoenix could have an extraterrestrial origin. In his later remarks, he has described the lights as otherworldly. The Loch Ness Monster has been sighted for the first time ever in China. A woman there claims to have captured the creature on webcam, swimming out on the water for 6 minutes. And a company called Finance Buzz is looking to pay someone $1,300 in October to watch 13 pre-selected horror movies in an effort to determine whether big-budget horror movies are on average better than smaller productions. The selected movies are Saw, Amityville Horror, A Quiet Place, A Quiet Place 2, Candyman, Insidious, The Blair Witch Project, Sinister, Get Out, The Purge, Halloween, the 2018 one, Paranormal Activity, and Annabelle. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. Now, the Loch Ness in China.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be people who automatically shove that aside and say, well, the Loch Ness is where it is and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I mean, they had similar sightings in Lake Champlain. So, you know, I mean, why wouldn't there maybe be... You know, if you're coming from the angle that this is a species of animal, you know, they gotta have some boy, you know, when a boy cryptid meets a girl cryptid.
Oh my God.
You know, so there's gotta be more than one, but I've always liked it, and I've always come back to this theory that there's like quartz creating some sort of time tunnel in Loch Ness, and that's where these little Pliocene, Plesiosaur, whatever era it's coming out of.
So there's just these, you know, very confused dinosaurs that pop in and out of, like, time.
I don't think they're all that confused, you know. They're just looking for fish and lettuce, and, I mean, that exists in both time periods.
I guess. Well, although I don't think lettuce existed in its modern form.
Well...
I
one of the great mysteries. One of the great mysteries. But I don't know. Do you, what do you think of this?
I'm not a huge believer in the Loch Ness Monster, but I think I'm much more of a believer in the Loch Ness Monster spotted in places that aren't Loch Ness.
Right, honestly. Because of the boy-girl cryptid story.
Well, not even that, but just, like, for one thing, like, the tourism, the economy of the town, or the towns around there,
right,
depend heavily on people continuing to want to come and see this thing. Tourists come for the express purpose of seeing this thing, which means, you know, they're going to misidentify.
Right. The little Mancy Drew in you says that that's motive.
Right, exactly. I think this is all motivated reasoning, and it's, like, we know that the surgeon's photo was a fake, because the guy, like, admitted it, or maybe he didn't admit it, maybe one of his friends was like, no, that guy made hoaxes all the time, I helped him. Anyway, someone involved in the process admitted it, and, like, people say, oh, well, these sightings go back thousands of years, it's like, well, no, they don't. Like, the evidence for that is not good at all. But then when you get sightings that are in other places, like Lake Champlain, well, not necessarily Lake Champlain, but just around the world, they're often much less dubious to me.
Right.
And part of it is, you know, it's very easy to misidentify, like, logs and stuff as a creature that, as the neck and head of, like, a long, noodly creature.
Right.
You know?
And snake guy.
Right. And there have been similar, like, the sea serpent sightings of the early 19th century, strikingly similar to Loch Ness Monster sightings today. So, I don't know, maybe there is some kind of sea monster out there that we're seeing. Is it the Loch Ness Monster? I doubt it, but... There's something interesting there, I think.
And then $1,300 to watch horror movies. Now, I got a quiz for you.
Yeah.
Who has two thumbs and signed up for this already?
You.
This guy.
Oh, my
God. You know, my wife sent it to me, and I'm just all like, yeah, all right, I'll do it. You know.
Haven't you already seen all of those?
You know, I've never actually watched the Saw movies because I'm not really a big torture kill kind of, you know, I like the fantasy of it. Right. And of course, you know, there are definitely some thrillers that went above and beyond their genre. You know, the original Halloween is, there's no denying that, but for the most part, I like my stuff supernatural. But this does all seem to be coming from whoever James Wu, I think that's his name, James Wu's production company is, because Annabelle, Insidious, wasn't The Conjuring on there.
Right.
This seems to all be coming from one production company. Or at least...
Yeah, The Conjuring is not on there, but Amityville Horror and Annabelle are, yeah. And also, so, you got both A Quiet Place and A Quiet Place Part 2, which seems redundant to me.
Do you have to watch them in order? It's like, I don't know, just kidding.
Hey, but, you signed up for it. You should know about this better than I just do.
Thought, yeah, but in the sign-up, they're just all like, oh, what's your social media presence and stuff? And I'm just all, I don't have one.
I mean,
I don't have one, but
I
definitely...
You run a radio show.
I don't know. I don't have a personal... nobody cares. You know, let's put this radio show thing to rest. I don't think anybody cares.
Well, that's fair. Yeah.
Nor should they.
No.
Yeah. I think it's weird. I don't know. You know, this is going off topic now, but I mean, how much can we talk about?
Please rant.
Right. Yeah. You know, I've been talking to my wife about celebrity and royalty and stuff like that. And, you know, I think it's weird. And my big comparison is sports.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't really care about sports. I wish I cared about sports. I'd be less fat, but I don't care about sports. And every time I'm... Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. But every time I'm, like, watching sports, I'm just all like, yay, that guy's about to accomplish something that I don't know. You know, it's like cheering on the accomplishments of others based off of logistical location seems kind of weird. But then again, I guess I have to say I swallow all that when it comes to the Olympics, because I enjoy the Olympics. But I view a level of camaraderie with the Olympics that I don't see with competitive sports. What am I talking about? I don't know.
Yeah, so what does that have to do with your radio show?
Why would anybody care what I'm up to? You know, I have a hard time posting on social media. I have a hard time going like, oh, well, this is stuff people are going to care about. I took a walk with my dog and ate avocado toast. You know, it's like, I just, and you know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, there's going to be a lot of people who are just all like, yeah, those people are stupid. I'm not saying they're stupid. I don't get it, is all I'm saying. I don't see why anybody would care what I'm up to, because those people who are coming down on people putting up Instagram photos of them walking their dog and getting avocado toast are over here on another social media site posting their opinions about politics and fighting with somebody about the true origin of the Romulans or any sort of asinine thing. And I just have a hard time. Even this, I don't even, are you still watching this video? Are you still listening to this radio station? Why are you here? It's weird. It's weird. Don't you think?
An interesting marketing tactic. I'm digging it.
Yeah, I don't know. If it doesn't
we
have
just
a story...
confront our viewers on an existential level and demand to know what satisfaction they're getting.
Yes.
We're just freaking Russell Crowe right now. Are you not entertained?
Right. You'd get a lot more entertainment in your life by signing up for the $1,300 watching those horror movies. That's where this is going.
That's fair. Well, the good thing is, even if you don't get it, you can still watch those 13 movies.
That's true. Which I might anyway.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Tonight we got a guest. I lost my paper. We're about to be surprised. Stick around.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
When it comes to best breakfast, you know Black Bear Diner is the place to be. But have you considered feeding your dinner bear there? Nothing says comfort like slow-cooked pot roast, house-made meatloaf, or a tender, breaded chicken fried steak. These dinners will take you back to the best home cooking comfort you know. Serve daily at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and tonight our guest is Lon Strickler. Lon was first on our show a couple of years back, I want to say, and it was all Mothman, and that tends to be the focus of what most of your stuff is about, even though tonight we're going to be talking about some alien experiencers, but we first got to know you via cryptids, winged humanoids specifically, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we started that investigation Well, early on in 2011, but in earnest when it started picking up again in 2017.
I was watching some of your stuff today, and winged humanoid and Mothman, are those interchangeable?
Not necessarily. I mean, for what people experienced at Point Pleasant, I think it's, these are ultra-terrestrials, possibly interdimensional beings, but for the most part, they are different.
Are they different in the way that you and I are different? I'm Chauncey and you're Lon, but we're both human.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's more look thing and, you know, personality, the way they act, the way they interact. Yeah, that's probably the biggest difference.
Yeah. And a big part of this show that I was listening to was an incident on July 22nd. I figure we're going to hop right into this because we have a couple of topics to go down. But catch us up on the incident on July 22nd.
Well, July 22nd of this year at O'Hare International, there was there were three individuals who worked at United Cargo. They were leaving work about 10:30, and as they were walking towards their car, they saw this being, winged being, by the fence off the access road right by the tarmac. Mm-hmm. And very similar to what people have been describing for the past several years. Emaciated-looking, dark color, many times it's red eyes. This had red eyes. The gargoyle or bat wings. And this thing was actually standing along the fence, which many of these sightings have been near the tarmac along the fence. And as they were watching it, the TSA security showed up in several vans, and they had their lights on it, and they got out with their flashlights. They were right up on this thing. And this thing just ascended into the air and started circling about and took off. But this wasn't the only, these weren't the only eyewitnesses. We started getting a whole slew of them then. I mean, we had, cargo workers over at FedEx, which is just right to the east of this other, these other individuals at United. It's an area west on the western side of the west of the terminal. It's very near. Actually, it's very near the traffic tower. But it's an area in the west part of the airport where there's a lot of cargo companies, and there is also a cemetery that has been there for since the beginning of the building of the airport. They left it there. And the interesting thing about this is, and this is something we've been looking into from the very beginning because of the cemetery, is that there has been a lot of activity around there. And when I say activity, I'm talking about strange beings seen walking up and down the road beside the cemetery, a UFO literally hovering above it, and some type of humanoid ascending into it from the cemetery. Plus, we've also had at least six sightings within 100 yards of this place. So it's an active area. It's probably at this time, especially the most active area at the airport. So what had happened with the second group, these were cargo people that were taking cargo off a FedEx plane, and they saw it. They saw this thing, and they made the initial call into TSA. Their supervisor was there with them. He went down to take a look at it. These people, they were scared. They went and huddled up into the aircraft. They didn't know what this thing was. So nobody was taking any photographs or anything. So they hadn't made the initial call. So then as things turned out, there was another individual who contacted us, who was leaving United as well and traveling down the access road to the fence and saw the TSA people there with this being. He jumped out of the car But unfortunately, he was close enough where the TSA people saw him. When he jumped out and pulled out his phone, they let into him. They told him to get the hell out of there. They were gonna literally arrest this guy. So he didn't get a picture, which is unfortunate. But plus we have two other witnesses who we're working on now who have come forward. I don't know exactly the situation. I think one of them may be at least somebody from FedEx. So, you know, this incident is a major incident.
Yeah.
This is the biggest sighting out of the whole O'Hara thing that we've had. And, you know, these sightings have been concentrating in O'Hara since October of 2019. So, you know, we get a few of them outside of the city and near the city, but more or less around the Rosemont and the airport itself, there have been most of the sightings that come in there. So, you know, of course, we've been trying to find out what's going on, what this is. Well, fortunately, I got in contact, or I had an individual contact me by the name of Jennifer, who had read my book after I had done an interview. And she read the book, and she made reference to an individual who I've worked with for years named David Eckhart. And she had no idea who he was or anything, but when she read the book, she then discovered that a lot of the things that David had been going through over all these years, and I'm talking about over a decade, are very similar to what she has been experiencing herself. Hmm. So she contacted me. Her and I started conversing day and night. I mean, we were talking on the phone. This started about a month and a half ago. And we actually started working on ways for me to communicate with these beings just as she has been doing. And over the years, she has developed a way of communicating with these entities, these ultra-terrestrials, who call themselves the unseen ones. And what it turns out is these are the beings that are being seen at O'Hara and all around Chicago. You know, you hear about the Chicago Mothman. Well, that's who these are. These are these beings. So she instructed me on how to get in contact, how to communicate with these, at least one of these beings who was designated to me. And I am at a point now where I'm able to get answers to yes and no questions, basically. But she literally has the ability to call it ESP or whatever you want to call it, to psychically connect with the one of these beings. So, because of that, we have been giving a bit of information about what has been going on, but we wanted to test it out. So we have a group on Phantoms and Monsters Fortune Research. We have a thread on Facebook where we work together over Messenger Facebook. But these unseen ones, knowing this, literally gave us a list of names. We didn't ask for this or anything. Gave us a list of names of the individuals on the team that they were willing to communicate with, as well as myself and Jennifer. So one of those individuals by the name of Manuel Navarrete, and he was on the show last week. We did a show on at Arcane Radio. He went to the location, went to the cemetery. We had him in the cemetery, and Jennifer was told that a being would show up by the name of Uru, and that this being would get in contact with Manuel.
This is the Cigar of the Month from Tobacco and Brew, brought to you by Liga Privada. The Underground Sun Grown is the perfect balance of Nicaraguan long filler tobacco. Draped in a lovely Connecticut sun grown wrapper, this stick received a 92 rating. With hints of spice, wood, and espresso, this robust cigar ends on notes of cinnamon. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Carl Bott. Join Ted Leidy and me on the last Thursday of each month for North State Now as we discuss things that men talk about. If you ever wanted to hear what men talk about when they're all together, tune in at 6 p.m. the last Thursday of each month and hear politics, hunting, the bourbon of the month, and much more. All of this on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save up to $1,000 on Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds, plus free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
So we were told how to have Manuel prepare for this. So he was sitting on a bench and inside the cemetery, and he was instructed to all his equipment that he had with him just lay to the side, don't get any cameras or anything out, anything. Just stand there. I mean, sit there and be quiet and just observe. So he's sitting there. And as he's sitting there, he sees his rabbit. There's a rabbit that's walking around in front of him, which I don't know. I guess there's a lot of rabbits around. I don't know. But anyway, we were told to tell Manuel to put his right hand out, his left hand out. And he did put his left hand out. I know the guy was scared. I'd have been frightened too. But this thing literally touched him on his fingertips. And it was just like little ping pricks on his fingertips. And he sensed this thing around him. And we were told to tell him that there's a stone right down in front of him to pick it up. It's a gift from Uru. And there was a stone right there in front of him. He picked it up and kept it. So as he was sitting there, we were also told to tell him that Uru was behind him, standing behind him on the bench, and to look out in front of him in the ambient light from one of the cargo docks behind this beam would cast a shadow, the wings, on the ground. And he saw it. He saw the wings unfurl in front of him. Hmm. So he was pretty shook up.
Things have a sense of the dramatic, certainly.
Yeah, and, these guys do have a sense of the dramatic, so you're absolutely right. But it's just interesting the way they did it. But so that session ended, and I tried to talk to Manuel. I told him, I said, what's going on? He was quiet. He went back. What happened? He went back to his car, which was right there. got in his car, sat there for a couple minutes, and just drove home. And when he got home, he was contemplating what he had actually experienced, wrote it down, thought about it. Then he later contacted us and told us what had happened. I pretty well knew what was going on. Jennifer's a psychic medium. She's intuitive. I'm an intuitive. I was literally sensing much of what was going on as it was going on. And, he confirmed what had happened. And, so I told him, I said, this is all up to you. If you want to disclose this, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do it. If you don't, no problem. No problem. I will not try to force you to do this. This is something on your own, but I want everything to come straight from you. So that's what we did Friday night on my show. Another one of the individuals on the team by the name of Tobias was out at the Kettle Moran State Park with him and a group plus his wife. And as they were walking out a couple of days after this happened to Manuel, he had a very profound experience as well. Something was there. He said we were literally escorted out of the park. This thing was beside, we all sensed it. He said this thing escorted us out of the park to our cars. And he can't explain it. Now he believes now there was an incident he had when he was living in Madison where he saw these two dark figures, and he explains it in the video. When he saw these two dark figures in Madison at a distance, and when he saw them, he had a sense that these were some of the winged beings that had been showing up, but he wasn't quite sure. And when he told us this after the show, we contacted the one of these beings whose name is Ukiah. And Ukiah, he acknowledged it. And we also had a photograph from David that David Eckhart had taken a couple of years ago, which I posted it up there. It's kind of hard to make out what it is, but the day I saw it, I knew it was something to do with Chicago, though it was taken in Pensacola, Florida. But I instinctively knew it had something to do with this. So we had asked Ukiah weeks before that, how many pictures of these beings are there? And he said one. But we couldn't figure out what it was. He never told us anything. So after I remembered this photograph, and I told Jennifer, I said, Jennifer, ask Ukiah if this photograph is the one he's referring to. And he did. He acknowledged it. So so that's where we are right now. We decided to come forth with this. You know, people can believe what they want to believe. You know, I really don't care. You know, I'm just putting out there the information we got. I do believe this is a major breakthrough. I think this is something we're going to be able to work on as time goes by. But I am very positive that these beings that are being seen in Chicago, in and around the airport, and in the region, are an ultra-terrestrial faction that call themselves the Unseen Ones, and that they live on a dimension that's parallel to our Earth plane.
You know, what I find weird about this is the creatures tend to look, demonic, but they don't seem to be up to no good. They seem almost angelic in their actions. You know, they guided you guys out of the place. You know, the original sighting was foretelling of something bad going on. You know, it's interesting, the juxtaposition of the appearance versus the activity, I think.
Well, you know, the Point Pleasant thing kind of shaded all this from the very beginning. You know, that whole Mothman thing, and the fact that Keel put it in at the end of the Mothman prophecies, and, you know, of course, with the Silver Bridge class, 46 people dying, and it has something to do with Mothman. Well, you know, I never bought into that. I never believed that. I think it was just something. This guy was a journalist. I mean, you know, he was trying to tell a story. And, you know, of course, you had the Men in Black stuff and the UFO and a lot of paranormal activity and a lot of weird things were going on at this period of time in 66 and 67. People had seen this being. A lot of people had seen it in an area, but that people were calling the TNT area, but actually it was actually the old West Virginia Ordnance Works where they literally manufactured TNT during the war. I believe, and you know, I've given this theory several times and many times now, and I do believe this is correct because I've been out there. I've done work out there at the area. That this being, this Mothman, as people call it, was a summoned being. And the reason I say I believe it was a summoned being, it was summoned as a sentry or guardian to this very strong indigenous spirit that permeates that whole area out there by the TNT plant. You know, some of the EVPs that we have gotten out of there are just so profound. I mean, and you know, even the feeling, I mean, I'm intuitive. I go in there and it's like, I just can't stand to be around there. It's so strong. You know, the fact that back in the late '60s, when this was going on, this was a hangout area, this TNT plant. You had a lot of young adults, kids hanging around there. And I think this thing felt threatened. And I think it literally summoned this thing from wherever. And that's why this thing was showing up. You know, if you remember, this being in Point Pleasant, this Mothman was literally chasing people out of the area.
Right.
It was somewhat aggressive as compared to what we're seeing in Chicago. I mean, that's one thing that, as far as a comparison goes, these beings in Chicago don't show much aggression, if any. And, they are frightening looking. They do stunt, you know, they do kind of startle people. They're very fleeting, very quick in and out. They want to be seen, but they don't hang about. By the time somebody is, you know, over the shock and trying to fumble for a camera, this thing's gone by then. This has happened many times. We've had sightings in areas where there have been several people and only one or two people were able to see it. I think it chooses who they want to see. And I think that was pretty well demonstrated with our group when they asked for certain people in the group to be able to contact them.
You know, last time you were on, this was a question that I asked you. I'm going to ask you again because maybe your view has changed on this. You know, another juxtaposition in these sightings is that half of it seems like sentient, intelligent behavior, and half of it seems like terrified woodland creature behavior.
Well, I think it's more the form now as time is going by.
You think that it's more of a
yeah.
sentient,
yeah,
comparable life form to us?
Well, you know, we may call them aliens, we may call them extraterrestrials. They don't like the name. They'd rather go by ultra-terrestrial or UTs, which they refer to themselves UTs several times. But they really don't have a name for themselves other than the unseen ones. That's the name they have given us to call them, to refer to them, to summon them by. Hmm. And, you know, I know it sounds fantastical. You know, I'm sure I sound like a complete nut to most people who hear this thing. But it's just, you know, I'm just saying it. I'm just telling it as it is.
Building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, We're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM. 1460 AM, you're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't buy into that. The people I work with personally are not conspiracy theorists, but far from that. Many of them are very skeptical. And, you know, they're the kind of folks that want to seek proof of what's going on. And, the fact that this has happened in the past 2 weeks and, that they've come forward and voluntarily have told their story is, you know, it's verification for me.
Yeah, it's always. Sorry, go ahead, Kara.
Well, have they indicated at all, like, what they're doing in Chicago?
No.
Or okay. So it's unclear. The only thing I was told,
now take this any way you want, because they talk in code and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, sure.
But we were told, I was told, Jennifer was told, you will find the truth after 3 years and before 5 years. That's what we were told. Now, there was
at least it's a doable time frame.
Well, you know,
it's not like the Mayan calendar. You're going right. to 20,000 years from now. You know,
yeah,
3 to 5 years, we can do that.
I don't know. You know, we did receive a somewhat like a manifesto with certain things that they told us that we believe were actually true. I'd have to dig it. I don't have it with me right now. But it's on that video. It's on the show video from last Friday. Mm-hmm. But these were statements that we were told by this Ukiah, as to how we can identify them and what they are doing currently. But, you know, just like anything else, I think it's going to be baby steps. I am not out to rush anything, you know, and I don't want to do anything drastic to kind of screw this up, but I think it's real. You know, I really do. I think it's absolutely real. So, you know, the thing best we can do now is just hope the best and see if any more information comes our way. But I think it will. You know, I think the relationship's tight right now.
Well, I want to move on to your book, but I keep getting more questions about this topic. You know, you said that you think that they were summoned, which immediately implied to me like it was stuck here. Like it wasn't going back and forth like it is here.
I don't believe that these beings in Chicago right now were summoned. I think the being that was, or beings that were in Point Pleasant were summoned. And I do believe they're stuck here because we get reports out of there at this, I mean, present time. I have had at least 30 reports of Mothman-like activity in Mason County and up and down the Ohio River over the past maybe 20, 25 years. So, I mean, something's still being seen out there.
Right.
And is it the same being? I don't know. But there's something very similar that's being seen.
Now, it seems highly localized. Do you ever get reports from other places, like out west or even other countries?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is not a phenomenon just for Chicago or other. You know, we've had at the same time that this was going, started in Chicago in 2017, where we were getting reports in Pasco County, Florida, of several sightings, a very similar type being, like a gargoyle-like being. We had reports down in Texas. We had reports in Ohio. We've had reports here in Pennsylvania. This is just not one area phenomena. This just pop up every once in a while in other places.
All the swing states.
All the swing states, is that what you said?
I mean, the ones you mentioned are, maybe they're pollsters.
Well, that's another good question pollsters to ask about Mothman before we move on to alien disclosure. In UFO subculture, whatever you want to call it, it seems that the toxicity of politics has moved in there pretty good. Has any of that gone on with the Mothman community, or is the Mothman community still kind of outside of that?
Well, I expect it at any time.
Who's your realist?
With a lot of stuff. And I have had my dealings with the government over the years for a lot of different things, mostly cryptid stuff. But but as far as UFO, yeah, they do seem to. And this whole disclosure thing with the government and the tic tac and all this and stuff, you know, that little bit that they've spoon fed us didn't surprise me. You know, they were, like you said, politically, there was calling out for this stuff. And I think the military kind of cherry picked what they thought they were safe enough to tell us about, just to get the politicians off their butts. So, yeah, I don't expect the government ever to say anything of substance unless they absolutely have to. I mean, say something lands on the Washington Mall and these things are running around the city. Yeah, then I think they may come out and say something. But beyond that, I don't think it's going to be much.
Could just be a stunt for Independence Day 3, though. They could just cover it up like that.
I'm surprised that hasn't come out yet, to be honest with you.
All right, so your new book, Alien Disclosure, Experiencers, Exposé, Reality. I was expecting this to take quite a drastic turn, but given our Mothman conversation that we just had, I guess it's maybe not quite as drastic of a turn as I expected it to be. What is this book? This book is a collection of people's experiences.
And this book was actually published about 2.5 years ago. It was republished recently with another publisher. It was just updated. Nothing real major, just a new cover and a few things inside, but nothing major. But yeah, the book covers individuals who have had alien encounters, experiencers, you know, that I had been involved with personally. And I've been involved with several cases over the years. And that's what I detail in the book.
What kind of experiences are we talking? Is there a vein of similarity traveling through the bunch? Or,
well, you know, everybody wants to hear about that alien abduction. You know, that's the first thing everybody wants to talk about. Alien abduction actually has kind of evolved over the years. You know, when we're talking about the early 60s, the Benny and Barney Hill thing and the actually being taken onto a craft and experimented on and shown things and this and that and stuff, the ordeal they supposedly going through the rest of their lives. That started becoming mainstream about the late 60s. that's about the time I heard about it as a kid, and I became very interested in it. But you know, that was the vein of most of the abduction scenarios. So as time has gone by over years, it kind of evolved more into the tissue taking, egg taking, sperm taking, hybrids, this and that, all mostly sexual connotations to it, to be part of a hybrid possibly system, dealt with a lot of people, women who had been literally had pregnancies end after the first trimester, several at a time for some women, where they would literally they'd be abducted, but their bodies would stay at the location, and you would see, and I do have a videotape of a woman who was one of my clients who literally was raised, the body was raised about 3 inches off the bed. Her boyfriend was knocked out. Her dog was knocked out. Nobody's making any sounds. And her ethereal being, so to speak, was seen sitting up and moved away from her. And she believes that was what was abducted. And they were able to take whatever they needed, in her case, the fetus. Well, they did that. It happened to her 6 times. She's lost 6 pregnancies right after the first trimester.
Really?
I mean, literally taken to where she's going to the hospital and, you know, they do ultrasound, the thing's gone. It's documented.
Really?
And this happens. Wow. I hear a lot about this. I hear this a lot. Most witnesses don't want to talk about it, either because their husbands or their boyfriends don't want to be involved with that. They don't want to be stigmatized. Some do are brave enough to come out and tell their story, though for the most part, I will not disclose who they are. I only disclose if they give me permission to do so.
A bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your...